moisture. And so just thank you for providing there, but also know that it causes some serious issues for some, depending on where they're at and where they live and just how well they can get around. So just pray for those, some still without power on the other side of the state, and just pray that they would be able to get that fixed quickly. And just for safety out on the roads, that we would watch out, that we'd be careful, that, you know, it's just, you got to watch out for that other person too. So I just thank you for how you provide, and just pray that we would stay focused on you and not get distracted by some of the stuff in life that really has no eternal consequence. That we would be focused on those things that will last for eternity. And so, Father, I pray this morning that we would hear from you, that as we look at your will and how that affects us, how it should affect us, how we should participate in that, Father, that your Holy Spirit would just speak to us and help us then to act on those things. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're diving into our Experiencing God series. Just by way kind of review, and I'm not going to go through this, it's on your handout, but we looked last week at kind of what the goals are for the series, and those are listed there in your handout. You will also find them as you go through your book. You will be finding those, and you can look those over. So God's will in you. One of the first steps in knowing what God's will is knowing God. You know, and not just knowing about God. Because I think there's probably a lot of people that know about God or have some idea of God, but they don't really know God. They don't have a real personal experience with God. One of the things that we can know about God is that God is love. 1 John 4:16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Everything that God does, he does out of love. Now, that may be hard to understand as we look around and see some of the things that happen, some of the experiences. You think of, you know, okay, so Noah and the ark. So out of love, God destroyed all those people? He did, because he knew what it was doing to the world, how it was corrupting the world. In fact, you know, God was kind of sick in his heart because of what man had become. Because God was not going to force man, he was not going to force us to live a certain way. He was going to provide that and say, here's how I want you to live, and this is what's best for you. But because he loved us, he wasn't going to force us. We can also know that God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows how it's going to work out, where it's going to go. Psalm 147:5 says, our God, great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows all the in-between. He does know everything. We can't ever go to God and say, God, you just don't understand. You just don't know. I mean, you can. You can do that. But he does know. He absolutely knows. Even the hard stuff. You know, and those are the things that we probably struggle with the most. You know, when we see people suffering and we think, okay, if God knows that, what's the deal? Well, there's sin in the world. That's the deal. Sin has corrupted everything. We can also know that God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Colossians 1:17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things are held together. He literally holds everything together. He has created everything. He is all-powerful. You know, you may have heard the the philosophical question, well, if God is all powerful, can he make a rock bigger than he can lift? Sheesh. Yeah. It's called a circular argument. It really makes no sense. But it's what it's doing is it's trying to deny God. I mean, that's the direction it goes. To know God, we have got to have an intimate relationship with him. That is the only way we're going to get to know him. It's no different than people. You know, to really get to know somebody, you have to have an intimate relationship with them. You know, you can have an acquaintance and just, you know, kind of know them. But if you're married, if you have a spouse, you get to the point where you really know them. You have a pretty good idea of, in this situation, this is how they're going to react. If I say this, this is going to be the response. Because we get to know them intimately. We understand them. And that's what it needs to be with God. We need to be so intimately involved with God that we really don't even have to ask the question, okay, God, what should I do in this? Because we already know it. The Holy Spirit within us, we've been in God's Word enough, we've spent enough time with God that we really know this is what I should do. This is how I should act. This is what I should say. Through prayer and meditation and Bible study, is one of the ways that we get to know God. We get to know who he is. It's an essential part of understanding who God is and having that intimate relationship with him. Another way that we get to know God is to literally experience him. Experience God. You know, I'm sure we've all had experiences with God that we can say without a shadow of a doubt, this is how God operated. This is what God did. We may have an experience where we understand the idea of the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi. He has shepherded me. He has guided me. Or that God is present. Jehovah Shema. Or that the Lord God is healer, having experienced his healing, Jehovah Rapha, or his provision, that God will provide, and we've seen his provision in our lives, Jehovah Jireh, or that God, in maybe the most unpeaceful situation, has created peace, has allowed us to have peace, Jehovah Shalom. And we could go on and on and on. And what you see here is these are the names of God. And we experience him by who he is, who his character is, how he's operated in our lives. And we experience him at his initiation. He's the one that invites us. He's the one that initiates the relationship. Because if it were up to us, we would not seek after God. We're, you know, as happy as pigs in slop in our sin, right? It's just human nature. But God comes after us. 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 10, it says, just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Excuse me. For to us God revealed them through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. God has sought us. God has provided a way of salvation for us because, again, he's love. He loves us. So we may ask the question, what's God's will for my life? Well, there's a problem with that question. The focus is not on God. When we say, God, what's your will for my life? The focus really is on me. It's on us. It's not on God. The question we should ask is, God, what's your will? What is your will? What are you doing that I can enter into with you? 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 22. This is one of those passages where I came up with part of it and then I kept going back and going back and it kept getting bigger and it kept getting bigger. Pretty soon I was at Genesis. No, it's 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 12, it says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very high in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seeks after that which is good, excuse me, for that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterance, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil." There you go, there's God's will. That it's how we live our lives. We live our lives in relationship with Him. We live our lives in such a way that glorify Him. So we need to make sure that we're asking the right question. The focus needs to be on God. In Deuteronomy 10, as God is speaking to the Israelites, He says, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good." Now, yes, He's speaking directly to Israel here, but the principle is those who are believers in Jesus Christ are now God's people also. And if you go to the New Testament, you'll see that Jesus says the same stuff. And I find, you know, the very last few words of that says, "for your good." Because again, God loves us. He does want what's best for us. The Bible talks about God disciplining us. He does it out of love. He gives that example, just as a father loves his son and disciplines him, so God loves us so much that He will discipline us because He wants what's best. He always operates out of love. The problem is we don't see the big picture. You know, we only see this little piece that's right in front of us, and we think, well, how is God operating out of love when I'm looking at, you know, a loved one dying of cancer? God still loves them. He still loves us. But again, there is sin in this world. And sin has literally affected everything. It's affected our health. It's affected our whole environment because of sin. But also God has a bigger picture in mind of what He's trying to do, of where He's going. He will do what's best. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Ultimately, God will be glorified. God will be glorified. That is the goal. It's about Him. It's not about us. I love this statement. You'll come across this going through your workbook. Don't just do something, stand there. Probably never heard it that way before, have you? Right? Usually it's, don't just stand there, do something. Well, the problem is you may do the wrong thing. You may not be doing what God wants you to do. Well, I've added to it. I said, don't just do something. Get on your knees. Get on your face. Seek God with everything you are. John 15:5, which is actually the first memory verse. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And all you doers out there are thinking, oh, wait a minute, I can do a lot of stuff. But is it the best stuff? Is it the stuff that God wants you to do? Sometimes we just keep ourselves so busy that we don't have to really think about what's really going on. That we don't have to really focus on, well, I'm doing all this good stuff. Great. Is it the stuff that God wants you to do? Well, it's good stuff. Doesn't mean God wants you doing it. We need to seek after that love relationship with God. Really seek to know him. And as we go through that process of getting to know him, we may have to adjust our life to live the way he wants us to live. We need to let God love us. You know, sometimes people can say, well, you know, I've done these things. There's no way God can love me. You know what I have? It's a theological word to explain that. Baloney. There is nothing you can do that takes you out of God's love. He loves you. And he wants to reveal himself to you. One of the things that we can do to make sure we're in God's will is to yoke up with Jesus. Matthew 11:28, Jesus talks about this, about the yoke. 28 through 30, it says, Jesus speaking, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, that's one of those passages that every time I read it, I think, okay, putting a yoke on? There seems like nothing easy about that. That seems like work. That seems like something that's going to be hard. But Jesus says, basically, share my yoke. We're going to be in tandem. We're going to be working together. I mean, who better to have working right beside you than Jesus? In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look at this in the aspect of trying to find your way. Is it doesn't say that Jesus will show you the way, that he won't lead you along the path. What it says there is, he is the way. He is the way. And that we put that yoke on with him and go through our lives together in step with Jesus day by day. Matthew 6, 33 through 34, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Those of you who like to worry, how's that working for you? Does it work out if you worry about something hard enough? No? You know, it's interesting about God is many times he doesn't give us much detail about what he wants us to do. We see this as he's worked through different people in the Bible. You know, when he came to Abraham, and what did he tell Abraham? Well, here's where I want you to go, here's what I want you to do, here's who you're going to meet, here's... No? It's not what he did? Yeah. That's all he said. He said, go, leave this place and go. Jesus, when he came to many of the disciples, what did he say to them? Okay, here's the plan. All right, so I'm the Savior of the world. We're going to do these things. We're going to go to these towns. We're going to heal people. And eventually I'm going to die on the cross, right? We'll lay it all out for you so that you understand what's going on. No, what did Jesus say? Follow me. Literally, that's all he said. Obviously, these guys recognize something, and I really believe because God put that within them, they recognized something about Jesus. Many times, as Jesus spoke, it says that people were in awe of his authority. There was just something about what he said, how he said it, the way he came across. Well, duh, he was God. They didn't totally get that, but they knew there was something there. So we need to remember, first and foremost, that God desires a love relationship with you and I. Mark 12:30 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Didn't leave anything out. We need to love him with our whole being. And are we willing to do whatever God desires? Are we willing to follow? Sight unseen, basically. I don't know where we're going, but let's go. Because I know who I'm following. And then remembering that everything that God does is generated by love. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 16 through verse 21. Paul speaking to the Ephesians, he says that he, God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God wants us to be filled to the fullness of Christ, to have that love that really is unexplainable, the love that took Jesus to the cross. Talk about an unexplainable love. Bless you. You know, the Bible even says that. The cross is foolishness to those that don't understand. And it is. It is. It's crazy. Even the disciples struggled with, wait a minute. He said he was God. He's Messiah. He was a Savior. And now he's dying on a cross? Doesn't make sense. He's supposed to come and take over, right? Yeah, one day he will. One day he will come and he will take over. But in the meantime, we need to follow. We need to love. We need to be willing to do what he asks us to do. Let's pray. Father God, you know, this life is not easy. There's a lot of things in life that is just, it's hard to understand. But we need to know you. And if we know you, we can trust you, that you are working out your plan, that you know what you're doing, that you have a direction. You see the big picture. If we only know about you, we're not going to trust you. We need to know you intimately, to have a relationship with you, to experience you. And then to remember those experiences, to remember how you have worked in our lives, the things that you have done, the things that we have seen. Father, help us to be filled up to all the fullness of Christ, to love you with every single part of our being, and to not worry about tomorrow, but to be concerned with our relationship with you today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a good week. Work hard on those workbooks.